Good afternoon. Today is Friday, November the 29th, 334th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Simple Country Therapist on a Simple Country Shopping Day, Lou Quimby.
Thank you so much.
You bought that line?
Oh, yeah, well, the best you could come up with under short circumstances.
Oh, thanks for the leeway and the latitude. Oh, this afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about fact and fishing, and we'll also talk a little bit about holidays. Well, and I guess that's also a little bit about
fact
real or projected.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We got a couple of different things to make your holiday weekend just a little bit more bright when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. But before we do, our quote this afternoon, sir.
It's from Epictetus. The measure of a man is what he does with power.
From who?
Pittacus.
Oh. High on your list?
It's an old Greek philosopher fellow. No, just an interesting quote. Measure of a man is what he does with power. Power being the ability to dictate or determine other people's behavior. Influence or determine other people's behavior. Sorry,
so I was saying resources.
Got to get my head and my tongue in gear at the same time here.
Well, it always makes for interesting discussion.
Oh, yes.
It's interesting for me to hear what people are talking about this weekend, whether it's the Black Friday or whether it's Cyber Monday and who's doing what and when and why.
Let's hear it for Black Friday. I personally am going to get up at 5 o'clock.
Well, you know, and it's almost a cultural thing.
My camping gear and my tent and my thermos and
my you'll be in the tail end of the line if you're there.
My little charcoal stove. Oh, I'll be a tail ender at 5.
Yeah, I think you want to be there sometime around midnight or.
Oh, Lordy. That makes for tent and sleeping bag.
So what, other than the thrill of the kill? What is it that has turned this into a cultural adventure and almost an exciting part of this weekend?
Well, you know what a feeding frenzy is?
Yeah.
What?
Basically, anything goes, baby, and you follow the guy in front of you.
It's group hysteria is what it amounts to, feeding frenzy. So there are some interesting variations on that, sociologically speaking. Friday's one of them. Tailgate parties at ball games are another one of them. And people get in the spirit of things and they get carried away with their emotions. And at tailgate parties, it's about status and macho-ness and who's got the best grill and who serves the best tailgate parties. And
so reality is kind of out the window.
For Black Friday, greed is part of it. You know, they've shown some documentaries of like in New York when the doors open and people rush in. And boy, if you're in front and you fall down, you're dog meat because you're going to get stomped and trampled by about 100 people coming over the top of you. And then people will... you know, you've seen the pictures where people take a garment and they wanted it first, and then so between the two of them they destroy the garment that both of them want, right, and get ripped in half, you know, that sort of thing.
It's kind of like the baby.
And it's got, yeah. Solomon, yeah, King Solomon's the solution. So people get carried away with their emotions and they do things that they regret later on often. But now Black Friday, it's just standing in line or waiting in line or pitching your tent or bringing your camp stool or whatever and waiting for the big bargains.
Is it?
That's a little more.
Is it pure greed?
No, no.
Or,
No.
What I see is the social and the cultural component.
It's not pure greed, no. I always think of the one component of those things is the Cracker Barrel. Before TV, radio, internet, blah, 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 people would hang around the general store and put their feet up on the rail of the wood stove and swap lies and...
Yeah, the jot-em-down store for me with the old-time cereals.
Yeah.
That's where it is in my head.
And that was very low-key, and the biggest hassle around there was alcohol and political arguments around the wood stove, the old pot-belly stove. And sometimes those would get heated, and guys would get into fist fights about politics and blah, blah, blah. And that was about the extent of it. But now... You have a Black Friday, and you have 300 or 400 people lined up outside. Everything's kind of interesting before the doors open. After the doors open, just bingo, switch. Now they just run like crazy. There's been some places that have ambulances on standby.
Really?
Isn't that bizarre? That's just bizarre. Because, okay, well, it's going to happen, Bill. Call up the EMTs, get them out here.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
Doors open at 5, so get the ambulances out here at 4:30 and get them arranged. Because they know what's going to happen. Everything from broken bones to bruises to...
So is greed that strong a motivator? Or is this the lemming theory or the hysteria taking over?
It's not so much about greed as a strong motivator, is that... People get carried away in the moment with the emotions, and this just feeds the emotions, and the emotions themselves are pretty primal.
So more of a road rage.
Kind of. Yeah, it's a Black Friday rage, road rage. I was here first.
Well, line rage just kind of sounds so stupid.
Yeah, it does. Right, line rage.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
Now I'm under the sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late Spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of this Black Friday, see, I would be inclined one time to do it, but I would make it a tailgate party.
For the experience of it.
The experience and the camaraderie and just kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
If the kids weren't around and there was nothing going on. Fire up a barbecue, see how many people I could make happy, and do it
so
that want, way, just kind of as a social experiment.
You wouldn't want to be in the first 20 places in line, though.
No.
Because that's where the tension builds like mad. If you're off to one side...
No, I charge for my services to hold their place in line, though, to take a pee break. That would be the greed part of the program, I believe.
The price to pee just went up. That'd be $5, please.
Would you like a beer? Another one?
Yeah, you could make more than what you could save by buying stuff.
Yeah,
ROI.
If
you do that right, yeah. Bring your little porta potty on your own trailer. Put it next to the barbecue.
I hadn't thought about charging for the toilet too.
Oh yeah.
Oh okay.
Oh, put it next to the barbecue.
No, you want some hot chocolate? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like another one?
Would you like a ticket to the porta potty?
Yeah. But I think it'd be fun just to kind of see and observe. Yeah, particularly.
Well, you can do that. Just go park.
Yeah, but that's not being part of the crowd.
Oh, well, if you want to be part of the crowd, then you set up the barbecue. There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, if people are cold or whatever, or hungry.
You can be generous and just make burgers for folks.
Yeah.
Or drop a hot dog in the boiling water.
Yeah, really push myself.
Yeah, really push yourself, yeah.
But it seems to me that it really has become part of the holidays for a lot of people. Is it the cultural part that's
well,
there?
Well, the, some stores make 50 to 80% of their nut on the days after Thanksgiving. So it's a big economic push, for one thing. So they put in lost leaders, so people get there and want to get in line for the first 100 people to get there, get the X blah blah at cheaper. So that fills the place, and then after all the lost leaders are gone, then the place is jumping with people just with a little shopping mania.
Well, I've seen like they've free breakfast, continental breakfast, and that kind of stuff for anybody.
Yeah, well,
and
they do a lot of Christmas shopping as well, which they would do anyway, except now if you get there at 5, then maybe they get a break on something that they want or their kids want. So it's kind of a mixed bag of hysteria and emotions and hope and get their shopping done, get the chores done.
Does adrenaline tend to feed any emotion? Good, bad, or sideways?
Good, bad, or indifferent. It doesn't matter. Yeah, adrenaline's part of having sex, making love. Adrenaline is part of road rage. Adrenaline is part of I was here first. And you get a sense of entitlement and righteousness, and the gloves come off. The veneer of civilization is pretty thin. And it's maintained when there isn't a lot of pressure. You can wait in line patiently at a movie, and that's fine. You know, you go into the Broadway, and you get in line, and you get your popcorn, and your drink, and you pay for the tickets, and everything's fine, right? But when things get tense, competition, like Black Friday, you want to be in the first 20 people in line. Oof. Now, you get there at midnight, like you were talking, and you put your chair out, and you put your blanket on, and you take a little nap, and all of a sudden you wake up, and somebody's scooting inside your line. You were there 6, now you're there 7. Well, people tend to have an enlarged sense of umbrage and outrage at that point, and that's when the fisticuffs start. And if there's no fisticuffs, at least there's a lot of words. And they're loud words, and then that starts, and then maybe somebody else fights from, because you can start somebody else to fight with them with your words.
If you're good.
If you're good, yeah. Yeah, so you don't really have to get involved yourself physically. So it depends. Some people use words, some people just go directly for the physical force.
I've always thought it would be a great movie to do something about, you know, waiting in line for Black Friday special, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Scenario you painted out, right?
Yeah.
Somebody's in their chair. They fall asleep. Oversleep. Line's gone. They're in the middle of the parking lot all by themselves.
Alone.
Yeah.
Alone.
How disappointing would that be?
Well, just make a documentary of all the Friday lines.
Yeah.
Tell you all I need to know right there.
It is interesting, though, to see this. So there's entitlement whipped into this thing as well as greed and as well as adrenaline?
Well, once you get your place in line, now you've secured your place in line. That's the thin veneer of civilization. And if somebody breaches that by breaking the rules, now comes the sense of entitlement. And if that's backed up by a little, I want to get in there first in order to get my thing for $100 off, now you start getting multiple things together. And then if there's a little racial tension involved.
1 + 1 = 8?
Something like that. 1 and 1 and 1 and 1 make 20. Yeah. And it just, it inflames the emotions.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35.
Don't confuse me with facts. My mind's made up.
Well, okay, now it's 3:35.
Oh, I would say, sorry about that. I missed my cue.
Yeah, well, you know, if you would have had your cue cards in the right order.
I'd be okay.
You'd be closer.
I'd be closer, yes. Yeah.
You might still be out there in that chair in the parking lot asleep, but you'd be closer to the door.
I'd be closer, yes. I'd be number one. At 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, in your own little line.
Too bad.
Yeah. Facts versus reality, particularly around the holidays, who I would think are intriguing. We kind of had a little dose, I guess would be the right word of it, last Friday with the 50th anniversary of the killing of JFK.
And oh, yeah.
People saying, oh, well, did you know about him then? Da-da-da-da-da. Or that he da-da-da-da-da. I mean, with some of the political stuff, it sounded like he was Reagan.
Yeah.
Rather than something that he is involved into.
Yes.
So,
well, it's interesting about him because now the cold, hard facts are beginning to come out piece by piece. Because he got a lot of breaks from the press when he was prez.
And well, I think all presidents did at that time.
Pretty much.
It was a different
era. But Secret Service covered him all over the place with his women. And Jackie never made a public big deal out of it. So when he died, he was still in really good conditions politically. Things were just about to break some, and he died before they broke badly. So now there's still that pink aura, that lovely pink haze over his presidency. Camelot and all that, as opposed to
Camelot. Did you know this? I heard this one last week. Camelot. There was Jackie was afraid that the Kennedy presidency would go down as either or as a negative because of the Bay of Pigs, because of Vietnam, because of a lot of those things that were out there pending.
Yeah,
she came up with the phrase.
Oh, she invented Camelot,
and the media took it.
Oh,
and
isn't that
it started then having its own little life.
She was doing CYA for the presidency.
Well, yeah.
And
was, yeah.
I'll be
it
doing
it. Kind of an intriguing.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And then the videotape when he got shot.
Yeah.
You see her going over the trunk.
Right.
Back. You know why?
No.
She was picking up his brains.
Oh, swell.
Little things like that.
Oh, my goodness.
When you were talking about fact or fiction.
Right, yeah.
Reality checks that this was a real guy, this was a real death, this was a real situation, instead of this thing that it's kind of evolved into.
Yeah. Yeah, and the sometimes myth is better than reality for people.
That's most times, isn't it?
That's the don't confuse me with facts, my mind's made up. I want to believe in what I want to believe in.
So what is that benefit? What does that serve for somebody not to have information?
It's feel good. Not many people run their lives by facts. Most people run their lives by feel goods. And in order to, quote, feel good, there are some things that you have to ignore because they're not going to feel good if you have to deal with them. In therapy, for example, there's an expression that things get worse before they get better. And it's like if you have a wound with a bandage on it and it's festering, you got to take the bandage off. That hurts. Then you got to clean the wound out. That hurts. And then you got to dress the wound again with some sulfa powder. And then it begins to calm down. So in therapy, when people come in to fix a relationship, you got to open up a few miserable spots, and that hurts. And once they understand what those things mean, then they can change what needs to be changed. But in bigger issues, not interpersonal, like marriage issues, heroes have a myth about them. And when, like for example, the baseball guy that got busted for gambling, Rose? Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many to choose from.
And there's so many to choose from. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, gambling, prostitution. And then it comes out, and all of a sudden people go, ah, geez, that's terrible. But you know, he batted blah, blah, blah. And they go back to the good stuff, the feel-good stuff, because they don't want to look at the larger picture or the facts of that picture.
Or it maybe fills in some blanks, but doesn't change the general impression somebody has.
Right.
Yeah, which is one of those weird things. I'm sticking with sex and politics.
never on unsafe ground there. There's always something.
Yeah. I know. Really shaking things up here. You know, somebody has one of these events. They confess to it or is found out, and then they admit to it. Next election cycle, more times than not, they're turned back into
the
office.
The mayor of D.C.?
Yeah, who's now the city councilman in D.C.
Yeah.
What? But that happens. So what is that forgiveness part? Is that part of the myth that we want to have our electeds are all superior in some fashion?
Well, there's an interesting phrase I learned in the Army about taking the weekend.
Can we repeat this?
But sure.
Okay.
But going into town without a pass, which you can do. You know, the guards don't always inspect every car that comes back and forth. But it's easier to ask forgiveness than it is permission. So there are rules about permission. If you ask the top sergeant for permission, he is obligated to say no, because this is a basic training camp. You can't just do that, right? He's obligated to say no. So if Marion Barry says to the community, I'm looking for general community permission for me to use drugs, is that okay with you people? No, they're going to say no. That's because, you know, in terms of parent, adult, child, transactional analysis, the parent always has to say no. Well, there's two parts to the parent. One is the nurturing parent. The other one's the critical parent. And if you ask for permission about something like using drugs and you still want to be elected, they're obligated. The parent is obligated to say no because of their moral imperatives, right? But if they find out that somebody has broken a moral imperative and they think he's a really good guy, basically, then the nurturing parent takes over and they give forgiveness. So that's part of that piece. It's easier to get forgiveness than it is permission. And that's part of the feel good. People like to forgive people because then they get a sense of righteous moral superiority about the poor guy who's broken the rules. And then they feel good because they've given forgiveness. And then the other guy gets to break the rules again. And by that time,
and then you get the feeling of being stupid.
Well, by that time, the breaking of the rules is kind of ordinary, and it's not strange anymore.
Yeah. KINS News and Information Times 343. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time is 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop, final segment of this week.
Your previous comments reminded me of Gary Hart, who, when he was accused of philandering, said to the press, "Follow me around if you want." And then they found him at his yacht, which is named Monkey Business.
Yeah.
Talk
well,
about
I was,
asking for trouble.
I was thinking of Edwards, frankly.
Oh, dear.
Different decades. Same scenario.
Song, different words.
Yeah, it's interesting, I think, for a lot of us, this break in inconsistency. The support of inconsistency, the break of consistency.
Well, that's interesting because there's two levels to communication. One is the social level, the other one's the process level. At the social level, then the press accuses Gary of fooling around, and he goes, "No, I just have you think I'm okay. Follow me around. I don't care. Go ahead, track me down." Now that's the process level where he's inviting people to bust him. And it's the game in TA is called kick me. So he sets up a big kick me, and they track him down, and they find out he's fooling around with what's her face. So that's the process of that. Is that it's self destruction. People invite their own self-destruction.
So it's not a bluster or a self-defense?
No, it's... And then they do, and then he goes, oh, busted.
Kind of like a dare.
Yeah. And then you get busted. And that's the psychology of it. And Kennedy never got busted when he was alive, to speak of, because he had the press and the Secret Service to cover for him. But he was doing some outrageous stuff.
Well, he had Papa Joe also.
And he had Papa Joe covering for him as well. So he had plenty of people backing him up, covering for him. But that house of cards might have started coming unraveled if he'd had not been killed.
We're into the fringe, if you will, of the holiday season. When you say inconsistencies, I will flash to... there's a movie I'm not supposed to talk about because I kind of got a little bit of heat about saying it, but it involves a BB gun.
Oh, dear.
I do not like that movie at all. Apparently, many people do. Okay, fine.
It's a holiday classic.
Yeah, good. So are some of the familial traits that we run into. You know, the teetotalers who get bombed.
Oh, yes, yes.
Things of that nature.
I only drink once a year.
Yeah. It goes 360 nights long.
I make up for the rest of the year in this one night.
Is the inconsistencies that we see during the holidays, will people often use the holidays as a...
safety valve.
Opportunity.
Blow-off valve. Yeah. Sure, it's an excuse for overindulgence in lots of things.
So if you have one of those folks in your circle of friends or you know, social circles, what would you suggest we tell the little ones? Why so-and-so acts a little bit differently this time of the year than what he does and what he talks about the rest of the year?
Uncle Joe's a liar and a hypocrite. Would that work?
Well, that's about the 10-second version since we've only got about 30 seconds to go. Would you elaborate on that, please, sir?
Well, you have to be careful what you tell kids because they take it in concretely. So the safest social thing is, well, Uncle Bill gets carried away around Christmas time, honey.
Temperate, but not in the moment.
Yeah.
Get away from the immediacy.
Yeah, you got to be careful what you tell them.
Well, hopefully when we say happy holidays or Merry Christmas to you, sir, that's taken with a proper respect and decorum.
Yeah, and some perspective. Okay. I mean, don't fall in. Thank you.
No. Just celebrate.
Celebrate, don't fall in. Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Join us tomorrow for our shopping show. Join us Monday for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone, you'll see you tomorrow.